Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the best gaming PCs on the planet. If you want all the benefits of building your own computer but have no clue where to start, go ahead and let our friends take care of you. Check them out at doghousesystems.com and use the code MMOReporter for a free 128GB solid-state drive upgrade. And by Audible, the best audiobook program in existence. If you have any kind of commute or just wish you read more, I promise you this, Audible is the solution. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter to download a free audiobook today. Hello and welcome to the real episode 86 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and before we get started here today, I've got a slew of announcements I'd like to make, and most importantly, the biggest thing I want to tell you is thank you so much for coming back and hanging out with us here at the Happy Hearthstone. If you missed the last episode, you're going to want to go back and check it out because there was some really big news there. And Josh has done such a great job of building this podcast and this community to be what it is. I know the biggest thing you could do for him leaving and for me taking on the reins is to be back here. So thank you so much for sticking around. We're going to have a great time, and it's taken me a little bit to get the handoff quite right, to get my feet underneath me here, but know that I've been working really hard in the background to get things set up and ready for this show to be great and better than it's ever been moving forward. As we continue planning for the future, these announcements are kind of going to let you know some of the first initial things to be aware of. But the biggest thing is actually something that many of you already know, which is that this show is a community-driven show. It's no surprise to you guys that the co-hosts that we have on this show are people from all walks of life who have one similar thing in common, and that's that you love the game of Hearthstone. So if you're listening to this, if you've ever thought about being a co-host, I would love to talk with you about figuring out an episode that we can get together, craft, and make really fun. So all you need to do for that is send me an email at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, and I'll get all the details your way about what it takes and all of that. And we'll have a great time figuring it out. You know, we've done deck battle episodes, we've done strategy episodes, and even there was a little bit of lore of certain cards and stuff like that. The sky is really the limits. As long as we're talking about Hearthstone and having a good time, I'm open to pretty much anything. So hit me up and let me know what you'd like to do. Another big announcement that I've got is that I've been trying to come up with some ways for us to connect. Really, I wanted to throw some gas on the fires that are burning bright, and one of those biggest things is the community. So what are some ways that we as a community at Happy Hearthstone could connect, hang out, and spend some time with each other? Well, I've got something really exciting to announce, that every single Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Central, I'll be streaming some Hearthstone at twitch.tv/MMOReporter. And in fact, this week we just got started. It was a total blast. Had a good time with some friends. If you were following us on Twitter, you actually saw me tweet out those links and everything. Had some fun getting better on Ladder with some listeners there, so that was good. We'll do different things each week, whether it's tryharding on the ladder or maybe messing around with a fun deck that I just really want to work. Whatever it is, it's going to be a great time, and I would love for you to hang out with us. So again, that's Monday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Central on the MMO Reporter Twitch. So be sure you're following us on Twitter. We'll give those out later on in the show, and join us in the future every Monday night. One last big thing, I want to call all of the artists that are listening right now to attention, because we're going to start up a contest to get a new logo for the Happy Hearthstone. See, this is a great house that we got built here, but the paint's kind of chipping and stuff, so we need a new layer on there, and I thought no better place to turn to than our awesome community to see what you guys could come up with for a new logo. So I don't care if it's an homage to what has been or something completely brand new. Whatever you come up with, I'd love to see it, and of course, the winning contest item we are going to feature as the logo moving forward. So think about something, put it down on paper or digitally, and send it in at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, or you can tweet it to us at thehappyhs. Deadline's going to be March 1st, so as you're listening to this, Go for it. Whatever you're thinking about, make it happen. And I can't wait to see what you guys come up with. Okay, that's enough of that. I've been talking far too long, and I've got an awesome co-host who's been waiting in the wings for his turn. Got a great guest a lot of you guys are very familiar with, I'm sure. I am joined today by the one, the only, Zerocio. What's going on, my man?
Thank you so much for having me on the Happy Hours turn. I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, doing great, man. Really thankful that you'd come and be with us. Many of you guys probably remember Zerocio. He's been on the show before. Talked a little bit about adapting to the meta, which is something that all of us need to learn about every single day. Is that true?
Yes, the meta is always changing. Even now, there's a lot of debates whether it's stale or whether it's just monotonous, but we'll get to that a lot of that later in the news, I'm sure.
We definitely will. Well, for those of us who maybe aren't as familiar with you, can you just tell us a little bit about your background? I definitely want you to plug your awesome podcast, Hero Power, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've been playing Hearthstone since beta. I am a Legend player. I have been Legend before. I also play quite a bit of Arena. I pretty much try to run the gambit. I do everything because that's what I enjoy to do. I like to call myself casually competitive because I have a full-time job and a family, so sure. I can't be a full-time competitive player, but I like to be able to enter tournaments online or through podcasts whenever they're available. And of course, I also do a little-known podcast called Hero Power. We just did episode 66. We'll be doing 67 this week. Really excited for that. We've been going on a little over a year. And our podcast does a little bit of your news and everything like all the other Hearthstone podcasts out there with a little bit of a more casual setting, three friends talking together, just hanging out. And then the second half of the show, we do a different deck every week for those that watch us on video or on the live stream over at HeroPowerHS.com. So I'm really excited to do more episodes, and I'm really happy to be here.
I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but when I listen to you guys, I always think of you as kind of the good old Southern boys of Hearthstone. Would you be okay with that title?
Yeah, I believe we've been referred to as the witty banter with a Southern drawl. all of us are... I wasn't born in the South. I was actually born up in the Chicagoland area in Illinois. But I grew up here from grade school age. And both of the other the hosts, Avantes and Versica, are born and raised Southern gentlemen.
And I would say they certainly bring the drawl on the show more than you do.
I bring the banter. They bring the drawl.
I like it. Well, very cool, man. Well, you got to tell us at the start of this show exactly why you're happy, Zerocio.
I am happy because of Hearthstone Esports. It's really starting to kick up. It's changing, it's adapting to Blizzard and the new formats, and the winter playoffs are coming up, and we get to host one of the winter playoff locations in Knoxville, Tennessee, as the Hero Power podcast. So, yeah, we've done two prelims, spring and summer last year, and these playoffs are the new format that Blizzard is using in Team 5 for tournament competition. Instead of having the prelims, these are now regional playoffs. So I'm really excited to host those. They're a ton of fun, and I get to meet some wonderful professional Hearthstone players.
Very cool. Now, you don't get to compete in a tavern here that you actually qualify or that you're hosting, do you?
Well, if one of us was to compete in the Tavern Hero qualifiers and qualify for the Tavern Hero Championship, we could. We wouldn't be associated with running it. We'd step down as that capacity. And out of the three of us, I'm the only one that usually competes for those type of prestige and those type of awards. Versica usually is very big in experimenting with the game and competing at his level. He's very accomplished. Hearthstone player, but he competes at the level that he enjoys. And then Avanti's really likes to do the behind the scenes production side, and he's the actual innkeeper for the Knoxville area. He's kind of the guy that pulls all the strings and makes everything happen, and myself and Versica assist him in any capacity we can.
He is the joy behind the tavern itself, truly.
That's true, but if anyone asks, I didn't give him any credit for anything because that wouldn't be right of me.
Of course, of course. That's good. Well, I'm
so
happy
out there. Don't tell Verzeke and Avantes that I gave Avantes any credit.
It is your secret, safe on this public podcast. Absolutely,
that's right.
Well, I'm happy today because I got to travel briefly and see my parents and in-laws, and I'm one of those weirdos who actually has pretty cool in-laws. So I actually enjoy it when I get to spend time with all my family. So that was fun. I also even had a little daddy-daughter date. I mentioned on the last episode I've got a little 7-month-old girl, and she's our first kiddo. So I'm figuring out what it means to be a dad every day, but absolutely awesome. Loving it more than I even thought I could. I'm one of those, again, weirdos who like wants a 16-year-old who can hate me and just make her own decisions and all that kind of stuff. But I really, I think it's because I underestimated what kind of relationship you can have with an infant. Like, I thought this thing just cries and poops and maybe smiles if I'm lucky, you know, but it's, you know, when she lights up, when she sees me, and we got to spend some good time today, that's just a lot of fun. So
that's wonderful.
Absolutely. And in the Hearthstone world, I'm actually seeing some consistent success on the ladder. So I have not squeaked into the legend ranks quite yet. I've been extremely close. I've gotten to rank 1 2 different times. So really, I think it's just a matter of putting in the games for me. So it's a matter of time. But I was really excited that I started just haphazardly trying out a Dragon Priest list, and Priest is one of the few classes I have left to get Golden. I thought I was going to have to start getting to the point where I'm just playing the Golden, you know, classes that I already have and just ranking up because they're the best ones, but I've actually been doing pretty good with that Dragon Priest list, so I'm excited that I can not only do well and rank up, but actually get those wins in the dashboard for that Golden Priest one day. So
that's great. I have Golden Priest. It was
do you okay
my third no, no oh, it was wow. my fourth golden was Golden Priest,
so it's got to be a standard for you, at least one of those that you can go to. Well,
I did it off of Dragon Priest. I've gotten most of my Goldens off of control decks. I got Golden Warrior off Control Warrior. I've got Gold Priest off of Dragon Priest, mm-hmm. and I kind of got my Golden Shaman off of Evolve Shaman. So, and that Evolve Shaman got me my Golden just, I think it was 2 nights ago. So it's my 6th Golden.
Wow, very nice. I'm actually 1 ahead of you, so I've got 7 of them. I've got Priest and Rogue left. Those are my 2 left. So,
mine are Rogue. See, I have Rogue, Mage, and Hunter left to get.
Okay. Well, Mage, maybe you can work on with this deck that you're bringing on today. So we'll talk that a little later. But first off, we want to hit the news. Unfortunately, there really hasn't been a ton to talk about. Last time we mentioned that there's been a lot of developer feedback on what's been going on because really, and I think a big reason for this is because there's not much that they're giving us in terms of new cards or new things that are happening. I mean, the biggest thing was that the winter prelims are going to be in paradise, basically. And I can't. It was. Is it the Bahamas? Is that right? Bahamas. Yeah. So,
and if you attend as a viewer, as an attendee, you get a special card back that has yet to be released.
I still can't believe that they're doing that. I mean, like 20 people are going to fly to Bahamas to actually get a card back.
That's right. You're going to see that card back on the ladder and hate that person.
Absolutely. And I think that if that were me, I would never choose another card back for any reason ever again. Because really, no, I mean,
well,
you made it.
The golden card back would be the only one. But that's for winning special Chinese esports events. Yeah. So.
And then you wouldn't really want the Bahamas card back anyway.
That's right, exactly.
It's a catch-22. But there was a little bit of interesting stuff from Ben Brode. He specifically has been coming out quite a bit talking about the meta balance and just really offering some feedback from what they're thinking about. And Zerosha, you guys had a great conversation on your latest episode of Hero Power about really if there's too much feedback or what it means for us as consumers of this game, because that's exactly what we are consumers, to really think about how do we manage feedback? How do we interact with it? Can you like let us in on a little peephole of what that was like on the ship?
Yeah, our most recent episode was episode 66, Oh Rogue You Didn't, where we played Rogue and we discussed this exact thing. We want feedback. We want attention from Team 5 to tell us what's in their development processes. But the minute we find out this information or they give us this information, if they start doing it too excessively, then we start making rash decisions. We start saying that, why are you telling us stuff that's going to happen a month down the line? We want it to happen now. And sometimes there can be too much feedback and too much information. Just look at the professional scene right now. A lot of streamers who were upset about, you know, the Pirate Rogue package and the Reno package being kind of, not that the meta is stale, because there's lots of different deck types, but it's only dominated by two different packages. A lot of different decks, but you got the Reno package and the Pirate package are dominating the meta right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The problem with that is it doesn't become fun because all you're playing are those two different style of decks. Even though they might span over three or four different classes, you're always going to see Reno or you're going to see Pirate. And when you don't, you breathe a sigh of relief, but you know that you're going to see it probably next match. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of these pros didn't like it, but they kind of didn't like it silently. They were like, well, something new will come eventually. The standard will rotate out. And most people were thinking when the new set comes out in April. Well, then they said that they're going to be making changes at our next patch, which is going to be towards the end of February. Well, within a few days, people were saying that's not soon enough. Why they tell us now when it's not going to be for another month? And a few streamers started streaming on the Wild Ladder. Some streamers even streamed in totally different games. They're not even playing Hearthstone right now.
Right,
and
right.
They're in a sense boycotting Hearthstone because it's not where they want it right now. I think if Team 5 hadn't said anything and kind of just left it at the interview saying we're working on it, you know, standard's coming, the standard change is coming, then I don't think this reaction would have happened so dramatically.
Hmm. I think the only thing I might disagree with you with is just that I think people are feeling a bit of fatigue, as it were. And I've heard a lot of people really embracing the idea of smaller and more frequent updates to like new cards or something. So instead of waiting for 120 card expansion every 3 or 4 months, if we got a 30 card expansion every month or something like that, it seems like the amount of time between new content that really makes the game feel fresh in some way is too long across the board. And I think that's the biggest thing that's really getting people in a drag. And then yes, to hear that the changes are coming even further than they want, just yeah. I continues to exacerbate it and get us all to a point of, okay, how do we remain positive about the current state? Because unless Unicorn Priest is coming boldly, I don't think that things are going to change until we see a new set come down the pipe.
Well, the thing about having smaller sets more frequently is because us as players, we want to know what's coming so we can prepare for it. And mm-hmm. that's a lot of build-up, a lot of work for Team 5 to not only release smaller patches of cards, but in faster intervals.
Sure.
They then a week or two, or sometimes three, have to roll those cards out so we're prepared for them when they come into the new set. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of work for Team 5.
Absolutely.
That I don't think will be productive in. They're not going to communicate with us. I think it'll throw esports on its heels because basically you have a big tournament in Europe and they have the meta over there, and then they have a tournament over here in North America, and then they go to do a tournament in another region and a new set of cards come out and the meta changes, and then we have the follow-up tournaments from the European region that, you know, were the top eight or whoever, however many from the previous tournament. Well, then now the meta's changed again. I think the meta will change too much that esports will never settle enough for it to be enjoyable to watch.
Hmm.
And the worst time we had in esports is when there was so much randomness. But now that they've taken a little bit of randomness out of the cards themselves, if you just start throwing in new cards every few weeks, then that adds a whole nother set of randomness of, you know, what are they even going to play? Because this card is old and this card's new. And I don't know if that would be as enjoyable.
And I think staying on top of all those cards also is I think it would be manageable for the for those of us who are either really aggressive about this game or the casual competitor. It might be, you know, we're going to stay on top of these cards. But for the average player or the average watcher even of Hearthstone Esports, there could be a matter of, wait, where do these cards come from? And, you know, I've never seen that before and, you know, stuff like that. So
we have people in the community that, you know, get their do their quests daily. And then they don't really play anymore than that, except maybe on the weekends when they have time away from friends and family or work or whatnot. So they would constantly have to be updating themselves and learning new cards instead of doing them in big bunches. I think that the rotation of a full set during the springtime, a adventure during the summer, and then that fall to winter time having another full set is every year is fine, especially when we get the new rotation of our tournaments where the finals are actually in the beginning of the following year instead of at BlizzCon. I think we just need to be patient as players, let everything settle, because we haven't really gone through a full year of this new esports system.
Right, right.
Or even the full year of the first release of Standard. So everybody needs to calm down. And I know people are worried about what's leaving Standard, but they're not even considering what could be coming into Standard come this spring when the new set comes out.
And I think another thing that we forget about, if you are, you know, wanting something fresh, is that every single week on Wednesdays, we've got a new something fresh in the Tavern Brawl. Yeah. You know, so I mean, really counting the wins, that it's not just these long droughts of months at a time of nothing new. Like, the team is working really hard at getting us something fresh and rewarding us for it on top of that, too. So there's a lot to really like. I think that the biggest complaints that people have had recently are about the aggressive builds and about Shaman as a class specifically. Aggro mostly, because all of us have had those games where it just feels bad to lose when you really don't have a chance because you drew incorrectly and your opponent drew correctly. And the problem with Shaman is that it's been so powerful and diversified. It seems like lately there have been even more diversifications of Control Shaman that are popping up, and Devolve actually seeing some, you know, play and actually being good against Miracle Rogue.
I play a ton of Devolve and Devolve Evolve Shaman. It's my bread and butter right now.
Is it really?
It's a lot. I love it.
It's a lot of fun to play if you need something to freshen it up. Brode actually came against these two things specifically and gave us some really hard numbers to look at to let us know that the worst diversification in Hearthstone was Undertaker Hunter, which I'm sure you remember, Zerocio, that deck was insane.
Yes.
That was back when Undertaker would give you +1/+1 every time you played a Death Rattle card, right?
Yes, and it was one mana. It was more oppressive than Small Time Buccaneer.
What would you play on turn 2 and 3 in that deck? I can't even remember.
Well, a lot of times you had the... you're killing me with the names here. The Spiders.
Oh,
it's Wild now.
Yeah, Haunted Creeper.
No, well, you have Haunted Creeper, and then you have the one that gave you a Hunter card.
Gave you a Hunter card? Crazy.
Yes. Is Ball of Spiders is the card that's still in the meta.
While you look that up, I'll give the numbers. I was just trying to relive it. I probably repressed those memories because they were so bad.
And they were. But yeah, your turn 2 was Haunted Creeper.
Right.
Every time. But if you had a turn 1 with the coin, you usually coined out a one mana Death Rattle minion. It was just basically flooded with early Death Rattles, and then your late end, of course, was your high mains and your big Death Rattles.
Right, right.
And it was worse than a Mana Worm right out the gate, because health would continue to go up every turn, and you just couldn't stop it.
It'd keep getting more and more out of reach, so it was crazy. Well, back when that deck was running rampant, it was being played 35% of all games on the ladder. And Ben Bird said that is the worst that they've seen a deck overtake the ladder. So just to compare that to right now, Shaman was most recently played in 17% of all games when they were doing a study. So that's less than half, actually, than Undertaker Hunter was, which is crazy because I feel what a lot of other people feel, which is that it seems like I'm always coming up against Shaman. I would say it's either Shaman or Pirate Warrior so often because they're really effective. The bigger thing that he mentioned was that 30% of games at Legend played were Shaman, which that is getting pretty close to 35% there. So they're well aware of those margins. The other interesting thing is that the Undertaker Hunter, the highest win rate for it was about 60%, which again, highest win rate of any deck that has been played in Hearthstone. And the current win rate of Aggro Shaman is around 53%. So it's right above half. If you've ever been discouraged because you win about half of your games, you're actually pretty normal. So don't feel bad. I know I definitely have. Or even if you've run on a bad run, because a lot of us have done that before.
Well, the card I was looking up was Web Spinner.
Oh, right.
And one it was mana. 1-mana, 1/1 death rattle, add a random beast card to your hand.
You would coin that out with Undertaker.
Oh yeah, every time. And that basically your Undertaker became a 2/3, and then next turn you had a Haunted Creeper, and now it's a 3/4.
It's a 3/4, which is crazy.
It's ridiculous. And to kind of talk on the stats, I just was curious and pulled up my deck tracker, and I am showing that 16 games, which is only 19% of my games that I have loaded right now, were against Shaman. So 19.
That's interesting.
And that's a smaller sample size than he's probably looking at. But that's what did he say, 17%?
17% of all games. Yep.
So that sounds
about close.
That sounds reasonable. Now, 50% of my games are playing Shaman, so maybe I'm...
adding to the problem. To the number, so. Sometimes you got to fight Shaman with Shaman, though.
In my defense, I was working on my Golden Shaman.
So. There you go.
I was not playing the Pirate package.
I was actually impressed as I was looking back through my tracker also. Only 9% of my games were Aggro Shaman, and 21% were against Pirate Warrior. And I had about 50 games, so my experience has been a little bit different. And every single one of us is going to have a little bit of a different experience. If you haven't run into the Pirate package yet, you're not playing the game, I don't think. So you should get on and check it out. But I started thinking about, what do we do with all of this information from our Grandmaster Brode and, from the Reaper reports and stuff like that. I want to encourage you guys to let the data inform your feelings, right? All of us have experienced that salty craziness where you just want to rip Thrall's head off, right? Don't let that actually sink through, okay? Really let this data tell you what's actually true. Sometimes our feelings don't get things right. And the truth is that Blizzard has better stats on this game than anyone else. And the fact that they're sharing those stats with us is actually really, really cool. We don't deserve those at all. So knowing that right now, things are pretty well balanced as far as Shaman is concerned, except for at Legend rank, and they're going to keep looking at that. And I would really encourage you guys to use a tracker as well, as Roshi and I are able to share those freely. For the longest time, I didn't use a tracker, and I knew I should, but once I started actually using it, I cannot go back anymore, because it's just so helpful to be able to look at the past month, what I'm playing up against. If I do get salty, I'm actually able to look and see, okay, I haven't played much Aggro Shaman, so I can't be mad at that. I got to be mad at Pirate Warrior, or I'm really losing against Reno Lock, so I'm going to tech against that instead. But use something. Tracobot is widely used. It's completely free. It's a great, it's the one I use. I don't know if you want to plug something else, Orochio.
Yeah, I use Hearthstone Deck Tracker, and I was using Tracobot. But the Hearthstone Deck Tracker actually has a lot of utilities for overlays and keeping track of your stats.
That's true,
I've never looked at the stats on Deck Tracker, and this is the first time I ever did it, and it took me seconds to figure it out, and I've never looked at it before.
That's super helpful.
The one thing that I would kind of suggest, there is no such thing as an unbeatable deck.
Absolutely.
So if you're seeing a flood of pirate packages, or, you know, an aggro shaman or in a pirate warrior or even in some of the mid-range to dragon style decks with shaman and warriors respectively, those can be countered. Have some board AoEs, have some early taunts. There's some early taunts in the basic set that aren't being used because they're too weak for their cost, you know. But, you know, a 1/4 taunt or even a 0/4 taunt for one mana might actually stall the game enough for you to get a foothold. So find creative ways to make decks that counter these and increase your enjoyment. I do know some of the streamers that are, you know, upset about the package but still insist on streaming and playing competitively on the ladder have switched to playing things like Paladin and even Hunter to so they can still get joy in the game but not feel so oppressed playing the pirate package or even the Reno package.
Absolutely. It's great advice. And really, if you're not sure where to turn to, check out some of those meta reports or streamers to see what they're doing, because if they're better at this game than we are, they're going to have even better advice. Especially, though, if you are aggravated with Aggro Shaman, Control Warrior is a great idea right now. Or even Control Shaman. There's a lot of fun with that Devolve Shaman that you mentioned. It can change all of your opponent's really buffed up one-cost minions to Murloc Tiny Fins, who are so cute and not terrifying at all. So,
and also, if you're looking for a different deck, if you go to a wonderful place called HeroPowerHS.com...
Hey, I've heard of that.
They have some wonderful episodes where our podcast, do a different class every week for 9 weeks. And then the 10th week is usually some kind of special episode with another podcast or something. So we don't just play the same deck every week. We do a different class, give you something new. Usually we try to do something that's a little bit out of the meta or utilizes a little bit of the meta, but has our special spin on it.
That's awesome. Check it out. But we didn't come on here to just talk about Aggro Shaman and Bible Thump our way through this, Orochio. We came on here for you to throw down and challenge the defending deck in the Ultimate Deck Battle. Am I right?
Yes, and throw down I shall.
All right, well, let's see. If you're not familiar with these, we do these deck battle episodes about once a month, and in them, the guest host is going to bring on their favorite deck on the show, and we'll talk about it, we'll break it down for you, what cards are included, how it works, why they like it, and then they're going to go into a best of three battle against me, and the twist is that I'm going to use the current reigning champion deck of the show, which is the last deck a guest host brought onto the show and won with. And if a deck is able to beat three challengers in a row, they'll be inducted into the Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame. So currently, those decks in that Hall of Fame are Dan Patrice's Beastmaster Hunter deck. It's my very own Warlock Demon Zoo deck and Craig's Dragon Priest deck. And right now, the defending champion deck is Jarrett's Future Proof Tempo Mage from December 2016, episode 83, which will be up soon at MMOReporter.com. And I know we had some fun with Josh on the last episode, but Jared, that was really a lot of fun. So now your challenge is really going to begin. He's got one win from his episode that he did, and he needs two more to make it in. So you'll be able to go to MMOReporter.com and check out all the show notes for cards, a guide, substitute suggestions, and advice. We'll have all of that up on the website very soon. But Zorochio, we got to hear about this deck that you brought today. So tell us about it.
So I call it my weird Reno deck. And it's Reno Mage with a little unexpected win condition. Something you haven't seen in a while. It pretty much stalls the game and sets up for your Reno and Ice Block, which is obviously how most Reno Mage decks work. You kind of stall the game, get your Reno Ice Block set up. And in this deck, it's kind of unique that it has two Ice Blocks. It's the only two of in the deck. So the premise behind that is if you don't get your Ice Block, you're probably dead anyways.
That's true. I've seen that.
So why not put two in there? And once you get the Ice Block with the Reno, you can Reno anyways. Because usually you're going to want to Reno after you Ice Block, after your block is actually popped. And then you get ready for your swing turn, And in my opinion, a lot of the Reno Mage decks, the swing turns are weak when Reno hits the board. But in this one, I hope to show you that it's a little better than the other Reno decks.
Okay. Well, talk to us about it. I know that you don't want to go into the secret weapon necessarily, because we gotta see what really this deck is made of. But what would you say are kind of the things that distinguish any Reno Mage from other Reno decks that there are out there?
The big key cards are Reno Jackson and Ice Block. And once again, Ice Block is imperative that you have it, so that's why I have two of in this deck. Most of the time you're going to mulligan for that Ice Block. And then you have your third key card in there, which is kind of the secret weapon. Mm-hmm. Every Reno deck has its win condition. A lot of times it's Antonitis, and if some of them even do a combination of Alexstrasza, things like that. But this one has a rather unique win condition. I'm sure we can talk about it more after after I win definitely.
All right,
deck battle.
I won't spoil it for him, but I know that especially for these Reno decks, I mean, the whole idea is that you've got one of, and you've got a couple cards in here that you've got two of. So really, anyone who's looking to build a Reno Mage could do it in a ton of different ways. Are there any other cards that you really value that maybe aren't seen in the typical Reno Mage list?
There are quite a few swing cards. Manic Soulcaster's a really nice one, because what Manic Soulcaster does is it allows you to put a copy of a minion on the board into your deck again.
Right, right.
So being able to put out your Reno and then immediately Manic Soulcaster it back in, giving you a second chance for a Reno, especially when you have a second Ice Block in there, can really kind of give you almost a second stall turn for that big combo later on. You're going to have some of your mage cards that swing in and out, like Cobble of Stone. Cobble of Stone can give you so many different utilities, maybe even a third Ice Block. There is another secret in here, Effigy. It kind of plays with our secret weapon a little bit, and so I'm really excited to possibly have use of Effigy in here.
Okay.
And I'm also a big fan of Pyroblast.
Oh, nice. Nobody's
expecting
okay.
it right now.
Sure.
And it's in here, so.
You know.
Just a lot of really cool mage cards kind of piled in with Reno and then our big win condition.
And it's funny how I think Reno, or Mage, has been getting a lot of love in the past few sets, but it wasn't until Mean Streets came out that Reno Mage really became a viable thing on the ladder and a competitive deck. And so it's cards like Effigy, that's a really good card, but it never really made sense, I guess, until the versatility of Kazakus. How do you even say his name? I don't know. The Kazuman. I don't know.
Kazuman.
I guess he's just especially, because he's in this deck too, right?
Yes, I have Kazakus in here with Bran, because obviously if you can Bran and Kazakus together,
holy cow,
you might as well write your own ticket. You have every tool you could possibly need. If you happen to get face up against an aggro deck, Kazakusing for a one mana spell that can wipe the board of anything with two health helps out a lot too. There's a lot of flexibility and versatility in Kazakus. If you're facing a lot of death rattle decks, or specifically the big Murloc Paladin decks that are out there, using Kazakus to get a 10 mana spell that will turn everything into sheep makes it so those Murlocs will not come back when they use Anything Can Happen.
Oh man, that's true. Very cool. I do like transforming your opponents into sheep, though, if they're trying to resurrect them from a Kazakus potion, because then they could get some sheep and a Doomsayer, and
that's true.
Make them just cry, you know.
It's definitely good in the mirror match.
Very cool.
And in the mirror match, when your opponent's only putting one, maybe two minions into play, the 5-mana spell can get you a effect to turn one random enemy minion into a sheep. So Don't forget that, because a lot of people think, oh, you can only use sheep, the sheep effect with the 10 mana spell. No, that's the only one that does all minions. If you want to just target one of your enemy minions and don't target any of yours, then you can use the 5 mana spell.
Very cool. All right. Well, anything else you want to share about the deck, Zerosho?
I think without giving up too much information, that's enough.
Well, I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about after. We better see the secret weapon in at least one of these.
I hope it happens. In all my testing, I've only had a couple games that it didn't happen in. And the trick is to aggressively mulligan for it.
Okay, well, I'll be betting that at least on the third one we'll see it. So that'll be a lot of fun. Again, I'm going to be using Jarrett's future-proof tempo mage. So this is going to be ready to go when the next standard rotation hits. Zerosho, are you ready to feel the fire of the mana worm?
Are you really ready to feel the fire of the pyroblast?
Dang it. That's actually really true. Well, we're going to have some fun, and this best of three series will actually be viewable on MMO Reporter, so I'm going to record it on my end, and if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll be able to see it right now. So we'll be right back after this. So two mages entered the arena, and only one left still alive. How does it feel to have air in your lungs, Zerosho?
It feels great. I was worried going in. Didn't do great the first game, but we were able to pull it off. The weird Reno mage did its job and won the set.
We did have three games, so it was a pretty close fight. And honestly, I won the first one pretty handedly, thinking, I guess, maybe I had the advantage on this one, which is surprising because Reno Mage has so many tools at its disposal. I thought that you'd be able to outvalue me. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened in games 2 and 3. You just had value on value on value.
Well, talking about value, what about game 1? What kind of value did you get out of your babbling books and Kabbalist tomes?
Right. So I hate to put the win on RNG, but yeah, I got some pretty crazy draws. So I can't remember if it was off babbling book or Kabbalist, but I think it was Kabbalist. I ended up getting two different secrets. I had Counterspell and Spellbender, which are not ones that you see typically. I mean, Spellbender especially, no one actually runs that. I think it's one of those trap cards that I initially looked at and thought, oh, this is amazing. I can throw them off. But doesn't tend to work out in your favor. Unless you're playing against Arena Mage in a vacuum of Happy Hearthstone deck battle.
That's true. The interesting thing about my babbling book is I got nothing but Cone of Colds off my babbling book.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, so... Which I thought was going to be great, you know, getting Kona Cold when you had three minions on the board, but not when you have Spellbender as a secret.
Yeah, that Spellbender actually kind of threw that. And it was funny because I didn't even think that it would put that token up on the right-hand side, and my bigger minions were on the left-hand. So,
yeah.
But the big one was when the Counterspell was up. I thought that I'd be able to stop you from polymorphing something, but you decided to do a little Ink Master Solia Flame Strike, which is normally a great combo, but doesn't feel good when that Flame Strike doesn't work.
Yeah, when you have Counterspell up, basically I paid 14 mana for a 5/5. That gets killed by your board.
Which, just a side note, and... if you watch the video portion, you heard me talking about this, but Reno Mage has a lot of removal spells. So as I was playing against it, every time I saw something, I was taking very careful note that, okay, his Flame Strike is gone, so I don't have to play around that. Or his Blizzard's gone, I don't have to play around that. But
it's true.
But really, the big question mark is when Kabbalist Tome comes up or Babbling Book comes up, because I have no clue what you have at that point. And those really served you well, it seemed, in games 2 and 3.
Oh, they did. I got wonderful value. Of course, Kona Cold again of Babbling Brook in Game 2.
That blows my mind.
And I didn't even see Babbling Brook in Game 3, even though I was down to, I think, like four cards left in my deck at the end. Mm-hmm. I tell you, though, the clutch play in Game 2 for me was when
early Kazakus?
I had to Kazakus on turn 4, but I didn't get a spell because both of my ice blocks were still on my deck.
Now, and it really had me confused. Did he really forget? Because you even emoted, and he either really forgot or he's trying to sell me on the fact that he forgot.
The key to this is I had to emote oops almost immediately after putting it out. Okay? But not too fast, because then you know I'm doing it on purpose. So
There is an art.
I realized the way the Temple Mage was, you were going to want to put a minion down on turn 4.
Right.
So if I Kazakus on turn 4, then you have to either spell it down, which means you're not going to develop the board, or you're going to put down a minion and leave Kazakus alive. If you left Kazakus alive, I had Manic Soulcaster in my hand.
Which is exactly what you did.
Manic Soulcaster from my Kazakus back into my deck. Shortly after I draw my ice block, I now have the means to use my Ink Master Solia and my Kazakus, which I got later, and got me a key spell I needed.
And I think you were able to unleash it with Bran also, which is the...
Yep.
Never feels good when that happens against you, because you just have no clue.
Basically, I had to make a risky call of putting Kazakus out there with no effect, hoping he would stay alive so I could get him later and possibly use him with Bran.
And like you said, even if I had played into that, I probably would have been a little bit behind and had wasted some removal on something it's just a 3-3, you know?
But the important part to me in Game 2 is, how did you lose that game?
By you flipping the switch and realizing it's time to go. Kazakus potion into Kazakus potion into Pyroblast.
Pyroblast to the face!
And I had a feeling with how fast you were choosing those potions. I said it like, he's getting some good stuff here, because...
I went double 5, and the reason I went double 5 is because I couldn't remember if the counterspell was in your deck or off Babbling Book or Kabbalah Stone. Wanted to at least be able to do some face damage, and I made sure both of them were 5 damage. So I get the 5 damage to your face, and if one got counterspelled, I had the other to set you up for lethal, which would be Pyroblast the following turn.
And you absolutely did it. Man, so it all came down to Game 3, the big one, and... Oh my gosh.
I got the combo.
You got the combo, man. Tell us about the combo. What is the big secret package of this Reno Mage?
So I played a lot of Reno Mage. I'm close to 400 wins. I'm getting close to my golden Reno Mage. I'm very good at it. I like Reno Mage. The problem I run into Reno Mage is on the big turn where they pop your block, you throw down Reno, you might throw something down with him, but pretty much you're at 30 health. With a 4-6 on the board, they can usually deal with it. And then you start to build up again. It's like starting over.
Mm-hmm.
If you've had to use your removal early, you have no win condition at that point. You might be able to get your Antonitis and get Chain of Spells off later, but you're building up to that. So what I did is I decided to put it in a different win condition that was harder to handle that turn you put Bran out. So... You pop my block, I'm at 1 health. I immediately throw down Molten Giant, which is 0 mana because I'm at 1 health. Molten Giant is not dead, my friend. Arcane Giant, because of all my spells, it's also 0 mana.
Because it's pretty late in the game at that point.
Exactly. Then I throw down Reno Jackson. So,
and you've got a board.
I've got a board. I've got an amazing board, and I believe in that game I Kazakus immediately after that.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
End up getting a really bad Kazakus potion that didn't really come into play. So basically on the board now I have a 4-6, a 3-3, and 2 8-8s. Now, the potion I took was to resurrect minions, so if you did find a way to kill off my giants, I'd get them back. Unfortunately...
I had a little different plan at that point.
Yeah, what did you have in your hand?
I had been holding off and holding on to two polymorphs for a while. And honestly, I had totally forgotten that you were running Arcane Giant. I knew that there was a giant in there. So when both of those came down, I thought, I could not have planned better for this moment. So goodbye, guys. The only problem was, even with the perfect answer to that, I wasn't able to build a board on that turn.
Exactly.
I was just able to remove them from being threats.
And that was the big key, is you had to use 8 mana to remove my two big threats and take 2 key cards out of your hand. So I still had a good board presence, even if they're small minions, they're good board presence, and plenty of answers in my hand.
Absolutely. And ultimately, I ended up drawing my very last card in the deck, which was finally Cabalist Tome.
Yep.
And ended up getting... What did I get off of that? I know that one of them was an Arcane Intellect, because I just laughed at that.
Yeah, because you Arcane Intellect and immediately... It wasn't your... Yeah, you Arcane Intellected... You Cabalist Tomed. You still had 2 cards in your deck, actually. Then you Arcane Intellect to draw the last 2 cards.
Gotcha. So I had 0 cards in my deck with an Arcane Intellect, I think a Blizzard, and something else. I wasn't going to be able to finish you off at all.
Yeah, it was definitely fun games, but only one mage, only one Medivh can reign supreme.
It was even Medivh versus Medivh, so that was fun to see those interactions. Well, congratulations, Orochio. Well-fought battle, and so you will now take that throne, and your weird Reno mage will rise again. You think you can make it into the Hall of Fame?
I hope I can make it into the Hall of Fame, so we'll just have to see.
I will tell you, I've been playing a lot of Reno Mage lately too, so I know how the deck works, and there's a few quirks that I really enjoy about it. So I'll be definitely trying this one on the ladder, seeing if I can learn and, you know, get buffed up for this next round so I can do you right.
Yeah, it's definitely a quirky deck, and you have to be extremely patient.
Absolutely. You want to always get value off of that. Oh, I forgot to give you the most severe trash for getting Cabalist Tome off of Cabalist Tome, because when the game was over for me mentally. I can't stand seeing that.
That's like opening up your cheeseburger, and inside your bun of cheeseburger is another cheeseburger. It's great.
And you have a never-ending stomach. And you can just keep eating as much as you want. Oh, my goodness. Well, on to our community section, we actually have a question this week from Jarrett, who was the, you know, submissor of the future Tempo Mage. So Jarrett had a great question here. He asked us, now that Mean Streets is out, what card were you meh about that you now love? For me, it's Jade Swarmer, he says. I didn't think about its potential in Nazoth Rogue. It's basically a more efficient and on-curve Twilight Summoner. Which is really interesting. I haven't seen much Nazoth Rogue. I do love this Jade Rogue deck. It's not quite effective enough to be really good on the ladder, but I think it's a ton of fun to play.
Oh, yeah. I love Jade Rogue, and I've seen some Nazoth Rogue. It hasn't hit the switch for me yet, because by the time you get to the Nazoth, it's so late game, and the way the meta is right now, it's hard to kind of counteract that. But I'm hoping that with the change of standard, that those slower decks like Nazoth Rogue can kind of rise back to the top.
It all depends on what comes up, but I'm sure we will see some cards that aren't played as much really rise up. It's sort of like the future-proof Tempo Mage. It really had some cards in it that that aren't seeing as much play now.
Exactly.
So that'll be good. Oh, and I did want to say with Jade Swarmer, the thing that feels great is when you play Unearthed Raptor with it. Because with the Jade package, you just want as many Jade cards as you can get. And Unearthed Raptor becomes a Jade card if you're able to get it off. Especially if you brand Unearthed Raptor the Jade Swarmer. But that's living too much
in the dream. I was just about to say that.
Were you?
Brand, and the great thing about Jade Swarmer is he's a... stealth minion. So you can put him out and then give it a turn and then be able to do the Unearthed Raptor the following turn. So
Sure.
It gives you a little flexibility with that combo.
That's very cool. Well, the one card that I thought of that I was meh about that I now love, I'm really a big fan of Burgly Bully, and I guess this isn't quite fair because when we reviewed this card on Valen's Chosen, I thought that it was a great intermediary of all of the Trogs from the past sets because the Trogs and Trog Zor just had these really powerful effects that your opponent could not play around. They had to just kill it. Period. They couldn't let you have a free Burly Rockjaw Trog or something like that. But Burgly Bully, I think, creates an interesting conundrum for your opponent where giving you a coin seems kind of fine. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that threatening. It's just a coin. It's a little extra change in your pocket. You know, what harm are you going to do with that, right? But in the right deck, like in a Reno Mage tip, you know, with an Archmage Anunitas or in a Rogue, obviously, coin can be a big deal. So I've been seeing this card pop up a little bit in competitive play, and it's doing quite well, it seems.
Yeah, I haven't played with Burgly Bully. It's really good with Anunitas, I know that. But the one thing I had is off one of my Evolves, on my Evolve Shaman, I got Burgly Bully and Stone Splinter Trog.
Oh, wow.
And they pretty much had to choose which Trog am I going to spell down, because if I spell this one down, it's going to get a plus. This one over here, it's going to...
Right.
Either way, I'm getting a benefit. They chose just to concede at that point, so I didn't get to see the result. But
that's a good choice,
too. It was kind of neat to have multiple Trogs on the board, and they have to kind of choose which ones they're going to remove, which maybe there's a Trog deck out there. I don't know. Maybe
I have to go. And wild, at least, or something like that.
Yeah, well, definitely wild, yeah.
Well, what about you? Were there any cards you were meh about that you now love?
There was a card I was supremely meh about, and that was Dirty Rat. I thought it would be horrible and have zero upside.
Really?
I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, you're a 2-mana, 2/6, sure, that's great, but you're giving your opponent a minion. I don't care what minion it is, it can't be good. Well, I figured out it is an awesome card, especially in Reno decks, and definitely has zero upside because I'm zero and it works for me. So
that's good.
So, all right. And so I think it's pretty neat. A lot of people use it to remove something out of their hand to then quickly be able to remove it. Mm-hmm. I've also found it useful if my opponent's low on hand size and I think they don't have a minion. It's basically a 2-mana 2/6 with no downside at all. You don't have to use another spell to remove anything.
Which actually we had that happen in one of our games, yep, if I remember correctly.
I put him out. You had nothing but spells in your hand. So 2-mana 2/6 with taunt. Nothing wrong with that. And I think it ended up eating up a fireball.
It did. Because I was holding onto my polymorphs for what was to come. But
I was actually hoping you would use a polymorph on it because I knew that would... Mm. Polymorphs are the bane of the giants.
The secret. Mm.
You don't want your giants to get polymorphed
totally.
In that deck. And the big thing is polymorph hurts it, hex hurts it. But devolve, the shaman spell, does not affect the giants because there's nothing for them to go down to.
Oh, that's the 12 cost ones.
Yes.
Because there's, I guess, sea giant is the only one that would be less
sea
than that.
Sea giant's a 10, right?
Yeah. So
yeah,
that'll
so
devolve.
All the other ones other than sea giant. Yeah, I guess that's right.
But yeah, your Molten Giant is still going to be a Molten Giant. In fact,
there's
it's...
No 24 costs.
In fact, if it's got health... If it's been hurt, then it won't? Okay.
No. Okay. If it can't move to something, it won't change at all. It won't
even okay, heal. Okay. That's probably fair, because it'd be insane if it healed it up.
That's true, because then you could use something like Evolve to heal it, and that would be rough.
Well, nice. Well, Jarrett, thanks so much for that question, man. I would love to have a question every week that we can talk about some different cards, and it can be opinions like this, or maybe you've got a deck that you're trying to figure some stuff out and you just need some help crafting it. We'll give you the email later on in the show so that you can get your question in. We've also got a quick little iTunes review here. And from what I've been hearing, this guy has actually made the rounds on all of the Hearthstone podcasts. Is that right, Tsurushio?
Yes, he has, actually. and he's been very, very wonderful and gracious by going to all the podcasts that he listens to and giving wonderful reviews.
I think that he probably did it in the most efficient way. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. We listen to a lot of podcasts because we want to get better at our podcasting already. So I'm always listening to all the other, big name Hearthstone podcasts so that I can get better. And I've heard everyone talking about this guy, the Gary Scott, leaving very short, brief, but 5-star and positive reviews. And for us, he just said, "That's incredible. Love this podcast. Listen every week." I mean, what more could you ask for, really?
I think you got the most, actually. I think
that's actually true.
Hero Power, I believe it was just fantastic podcast with nothing in it. Just that was it.
Well, the Gary Scott, thanks for the shaman reference, and that you do listen every week, even though typically there's not an episode every week. But it's great that you're thinking about us.
I think he goes back and listens to your older episode again
because there you go.
The show,
obviously,
the Happy Hearthstone so much.
That's how great of a show this is. Absolutely. Well, and the Gary Scott, actually, like, we do really want to thank him because this is really something that could take any of our listeners about 5 minutes to do. Just go on iTunes, search for all the podcasts that you listen to, and give them a quick review. 5 stars really helps us in the iTunes search engine for people to find us. So it's the cheapest and easiest way to support the show. If you enjoy listening to it and you haven't yet, go on there, leave some feedback, and tell us what you like about the show.
Definitely do that. It's very important.
Absolutely. Well, Tsurushio, we talked about it a little bit, but we've got a card of the week that we want to talk about. But you know what you got to do before we actually intro this card, right?
Yes. Yes, I do.
It's that time of the show for you to bard us with your lovely tunes, my friend.
Are you ready?
Let's get it.
Blizzard nerfs cards and they go away, but the card of the week is here to stay.
Nice! I like that. Well, tell us what it is, because we gotta be able to talk about this.
The card of the week is Molten Giant. And that's correct. I'm serious. It is Molten Giant.
So you weren't kidding before when you said that it's actually a card still.
It's actually a card still. I'll be honest, for this deck that I came up with this deck idea, this alternate Reno Mage, while I was laying in bed, trying to go to sleep, playing a little Hearthstone on my phone. I'm like, wait a minute. I hate when I play Reno Mage and my blocks popped and I put Reno out and that's all that I get to do. There's got to be a better way. And I remembered Molten Giant. And I had to go downstairs, get on my computer, and craft him because I had disenchanted him for the full value.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, so I had to craft Molten Giant again.
Well, real quickly, remind us, because some of us may have forgotten exactly what Molten Giant does.
Yeah, and I'm sure you have, because he hasn't been around. He is a 25-mana cost minion that is an 8-8, and he costs one less for each damage your hero has taken. So if you do the math, you can make him free when you get down to 5 health. Now, the difference in this is it used to be a 20-cost minion that had the same effect. So you could get him down to free at 10 health. A lot of Reno Warlock decks had him in there because you tap constantly. And then you use Molten Giant and re-solidify the board and get back into the game. But when you have to get all the way down to 5 to get a free Molten Giant, it's too risky.
It's really hard to do. Handlock was the biggest home for it. But why does it work so well in this Reno Mage list that you've created?
The reason it works so well is Reno Mage works by stalling the board, solidifying, and basically waiting till you get your block popped, which 90% of the time, your goal when you're the opponent is you want to pop the block as close to one as you possibly can. So if you pop it at one and they don't have an answer next turn, you can beat them, whether it be fatigue or whatnot. Well, in this case, you want to pop the block and then you want your block to be popped, and then you would throw out Reno to heal the full. But right before you heal the full, the Molten Giant is free.
Right.
So you put down the Molten Giant, then you throw down Reno, and then maybe you can Manic Soulcaster or something else that turn. You still have another four mana to play with. But now instead of just having to deal with Reno next turn, you have to deal with Reno and an 8-8. Now in my deck, because it's a Reno Mage and you can only run one of each card pretty much. I run two Ice Blocks, of course, but the rest is one. I countered that by also adding in the Arcane Giant so that if I did cast enough spells, I could actually do Molten Giant, Arcane Giant, Reno, heal back to full.
So I think it's really one of the smart things that you've got two big plays that you can make in Arcane Giant or Molten Giant, and then you've got two catches on the other side of it. So on their own, they won't do anything because you've still got one damage or one HP, and I think it's six of the nine heroes can kill you without anything in their hand.
Exactly.
But with either the Ice Block or the Reno, you've at least got one more turn, and they're going to have to deal with whichever or both, potentially, of those big threats. So I think it's a really interesting idea, Zerocio, and I think that this could potentially maybe see some play even.
Yeah, and the big thing is when that Molten Giant's on the board, the first thing they think of is, I got to get rid of the Molten Giant.
Right,
Reno's
right.
Reno's out there, but the Molten Giant's the biggest threat, right?
Right.
If you can follow it up with an Effigy,
ooh,
and which is very underplayed right now.
Sure, sure.
They kill that Molten Giant, and it comes right back as another Molten Giant.
Oh, that's dirty. That is so dirty.
That's why Effigy is in the deck.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think that if there is a home, you found it. Are there any other kinds of decks or classes that would want to play Molten Giant right now in its current state?
I don't think so. I mean, there's no other classes that you can heal back so quickly. I think there might be somewhat of a home in it in Priest, because you do kind of use your life as a resource because you can heal back. There is a Reno. There is a Reno Priest variant that heals back very easily with Reno. And there's also, once Reno phases out, I think the singleton decks where you only have one card of each are still going to be available in Priest because they have the card Greater Healing Potion, which is a four mana heal a friendly target for 12 health.
Right. Which that is really, really strong. I've had that played against me a few times, and it doesn't feel good because I've typically gotten them really down. The big thing that you want with Molten Giant being played right now is some kind of guarantee that you won't die. Because playing him on that turn where you've got five or less health, that's rough. But even potentially paying five mana for him when you have 10 health, not that bad.
There is one other deck I've toyed around with, and I mainly haven't done it because I haven't gotten the card yet. It's Madame Goya.
Oh, yeah.
The thing with Madame Goya is if you can find a way to get the Molten Giant out, you can get him back into your deck by swapping it with another minion.
Right.
And there is a Paladin card. This would have to be a very control-y deck.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a Paladin card you draw. I'm trying to find. Yeah.
Holy Wrath. Five mana,
draw a card, and deal damage equal to its cost. So if you could build a very control-y Paladin that kind of uses light health as a resource and basically gets really low, throws down Madam Goya puts Molten Giant back in your deck. You're out of cards, so it's the only card you do. You have to do it when there's one card left in your deck.
Right, right.
And then immediately follow it up with Holy Wrath.
That would be ridiculous. I think you'd have to Emperor Thorsen so that you could.
There's lots of shenanigans you have to do with it, but
that's the only way that deck works anyway.
I think that I've toyed with the idea and I built the deck, but so far I haven't fleshed it out. I don't have Madam Goya yet, but I like cards like Madam Goya that allow you to mess with your own deck by putting things in or pulling things out.
Sure,
so
sure.
That's kind of cool that effect even exists. Who knows? Maybe we have a card that comes out and this becomes the next wild deck. You know,
I think the big thing that's missing right now is some good amount of healing. I think that's why we haven't seen like a Control Rogue. I think, was that you guys I was listening to talking about how you wanted Control Rogue to be a thing?
Yeah, well, Versica wants.
That's right.
Control Rogue to be honest, I guess.
Well, just for the record, I'm right there with him. And as I was listening, I was saying, preach, brother, because I want me some Control Rogue as well. But the big thing missing is healing. Like, yes. you do so much trading with your face, and you're dealing so much damage to yourself that you're not able to stay in the game for a long time. So I think the same could be said for guaranteeing that I've got a good Molten Giant turn and I can come back from really low health in some way. But I'm sure cards like that could, like Reno, could make the game infuriating to play too. So Team 5 is probably doing a good job trying to balance and find the right time and the right kind of card to introduce that kind of effect. I guess Reno already paved the way, so anything less than that will be good. But... Well, very good, man. Well, as we wrap up the show, we want to tell you guys all about us and how you can stay connected. Because like we've said so many times, Happy Hearthstone is all about the community. And the cool thing is that we are actually a proud part of the MMO Reporter Network. It's a collaboration of several different podcasts all on a mission to provide fun and entertaining takes on your favorite games. And especially if you play some more MMO-centric games like WoW, LOTRO, Guild Wars, or really any other MMO, you can go to MMOReporter.com and check out some of the other great podcasts that talk in-depth about those games. And if you enjoyed the show, please consider financially supporting this show to help us make it better. And you can do that by joining our Patreon, which is patreon.com/MMOReporter. Those donations go right back into all of the costs it takes to run this show, and it helps us to do more. And as always, we'd love to know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see added for future shows. You can stay connected in a ton of different ways. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, we're just continuing to grow that. So our Google Plus community has been around for a while, and man, it's not going anywhere. People are talking all about what they're playing on the ladder. I've seen a lot of crazy packs this week, especially. Have you pulled anything from a good pack lately, Zerocio?
We don't talk about that much on our show because I have terrible pack luck.
Oh,
and
Avanti's
has all the pack luck.
So it's kind of a raw bone, as it were.
Most of my Mean Streets legendaries have been crafted.
Well, you may not want to go over to our Google Plus community then, because I saw somebody pull like two legendaries in one pack and one was golden, and I haven't had that in a very long time, if at all. So
I have gotten a few Finges.
Oh, that's cool.
Over and over.
Hey, that's a cool card. It's a playable one.
Every set, I always get the same one over and over again. There was one that was the Hunter one that whenever you damage it, it keeps going up.
Gazrilla, yeah.
Gazrilla. It was my first seven legendaries of that set. My
Holy
first seven legendaries.
How?
I didn't get another legendary till the eighth legendary I got. And then
wow.
I ended up getting a total of 9 Gazrillas.
My goodness. I feel for you, man. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's a sore spot. You can go on.
We'll keep moving. Yeah. So we got the link to Google Plus Happy Hearthstone on our show notes, or you can just search for Happy Hearthstone on there. I'm on Twitter at Andrew Is Living. You can follow me to see what I'm doing throughout the week. And also be sure to follow the show, which is the Happy HS on Twitter. Been putting out some cool questions and just fun stuff for us to chat about. And have had some really good feedback from you guys. I actually asked recently what you would like to really really grow in, and we're going to let that shape some of our strategy episodes moving forward. So some really great feedback. Be sure that you follow that. Also, as I mentioned at the top of the show, join us on Monday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Central at twitch.tv/MMOReporter, as I'll be playing Hearthstone, maybe a good deck, maybe a fun deck. You'll just have to come hang out and see. And you can email any questions that you have or anything you'd like for us to talk about on the show to thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. Also, quick plug, we are now on Discord with MMO Reporter. We've got the link in our show notes, and we've got a special Happy Hearthstone room on there. So come hang out with us there or check out the blog at mmoreporter.com. Man, that is a lot of stuff. So hopefully we won't have to do that every show. So, Roscio, we want to hear from you, though. How can people stay connected and plugged in with you and all your weird Magi deck, Holy Wrath, OTK stuff?
I am on Twitter at ZoroshioHS. I'm also on Twitch with the same handle, ZoroshioHS. And you can find all of our Hero Power episodes and a lot of wonderful gameplay over at HeroPowerHS.com.
It really is a good show. I haven't listened for too long, but man, I really enjoy hearing you guys talk about the game and the different decks that you're playing and stuff, and especially getting a new one to try out every week. We're all looking for fun decks to play, so great
we
place
thought
to go.
We'd run out of decks, but we've done 66 episodes and have yet to run out of things to play.
That takes some either insane amount of creativity or a stroke of luck.
A little of both.
we'll go with both, sure. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Orochio. Really appreciate you coming on and treading into this new era of Happy Hearthstone with me.
No problem. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And don't forget to use your hero power.
Always. Thanks again for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.